You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of Primetime Action live from the South Point Hotel Casino. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin on the run-up to the Seahawks and the Saints. Should start in about 15, 20 minutes from now. In the meantime, how about an update? There's some basketball scores, Kelly.
Yeah,
what do you
go around the NBA and some NHL games on as well. The Bucks on top of the Pacers, 51-41, 6 minutes remaining in the second quarter in that game. Bucks 6.5-point live favorite, 239.5 live total in that game. A lot of scoring early. Celtics and Hornets at the half. Celtics lead at 68-66. Celtics 3-point live favorite, 248.5. Your live total. The Heat on top of the Magic, 21-11, 235 remaining in the first quarter in that game. Heat already a 16.5-point live favorite, and 203.5 is the live total. The Bulls and Raptors in action in the first quarter. Raptors lead this one 18-15, 240 remaining in the first. The Bulls are still a 1.5-point live favorite, and the total is 205.5. The Hawks up on the Pistons, 19-16, 3 minutes remaining in the first quarter there. The Hawks are 10.5-point live favorites, 207.5 the total. Nets all over the Wizards in the first quarter, 32-18, 143 remaining. Nets, 12.5-point live favorite, 229.5 your live total. On the ice, the Blue Jackets on top of the Stars. In the second period, 1-0, 17-20 remaining in the second. The Blue Jackets, minus 210, Stars, plus 170, 4.5 the total. End of the first in the Garden, Flames on top of the Rangers, 1-0. The Flames, minus 180 live, Rangers, plus 150, 4.5 live total, shaded heavily to the over. The Coyotes and Panthers all tied up at 1 at the end of the first period. No live numbers currently up for that game. End of one in Carolina. Maple Leafs up on the Hurricanes, 1-0. Maple Leafs minus 220 live. Hurricanes plus 180 and 5.5 is the live total. Juice to the under. Capital. Here's a first period score for you. End of one. The Capitals up on the Senators, 4-1.
Yes.
4-1. Capitals are minus 1,800 live. Senators 9-1 and 9.5. Is your live total shaded to the under. The Lightning and Sabres all tied at 1, second period just beginning there. Lightning minus 210 live, Sabres plus 170, 6.5 live total juice to the under.
I'm trying to see if Alex Ovechkin put the biscuit in the basket, and he did not. TJ Oshie with 2 for the Caps, though.
How'd Allen do, though?
Allen, obviously,
Allen had a hat trick.
VR, Vegas Runner, who was on my podcast for years on the Megapod, who actually is the guy that made Sprinkle on the Money Line famous. He used to call Aaron Rodgers Allen Rodgers. Like, he would get mixed up. He'd go, Allen Rodgers. I'm like, who's that again? Allen Rodgers. So just so you know that we're not patting ourselves on the back for, you know, the entire show, we did mess up on Kansas City. In fact, Matt, I believe you said that if we didn't have Kansas City in our contest entry, you would have vetoed, you would have rammed it through.
Yeah, it was really, really eye. So the first time I've done this in a long time, so I instantly rewatched the game. So like I just hit rewind on my DVR
to try to understand the calamity.
The game and started like going through, and man, like there are a ton of different flaws with this Chiefs team. I mean, namely one of the things, and I sent this out on a tweet last night, and I think that this is fair, right? I mean, Andy Reid is not infallible. Kyle Shanahan is not infallible. They have been bad this year. They have been not good this year, and they are not exempt from criticism for how bad that they've been this year. And everyone wants to. Here's the thing: like when someone's bad, we know they're bad. We'll hammer them, right? And like it's like over week after week after week after week. And it's like if we get this notion that someone's, you know, quote unquote good, then we can continue to find excuses and give them passes. That's not the case. Kyle Shanahan called a horrible game last night for the 49ers. Andy Reid called a horrible game for the Chiefs. And yes, Patrick Mahomes has been bad, but he has not been put in a great position here. One, the personnel for this team, you have Tyreek Hill, who, by the way, incredibly overrated as a wide receiver. Incredibly overrated. He is I'm not going to say he's a one-trick pony, but he is certainly not even in the same breath as some of these elite receivers that we talk about. And You look, there is not a number two. They do not have even a number three. Like, you look at this. Their number two is a tight end, but from the wide receiver position, the NFL has changed so much. If you do not have another option that can actually stretch the field, that can actually run wide receiver routes and have that type of route tree and be able to go out and at least be a decoy that someone might think even remotely that you're going to throw to, it's very, very hard on the quarterback. We saw this again last night with the 49ers as well. You've got this team. Deebo Samuel at one point last night, late in the fourth quarter, had 12 targets. No other wide receiver had more than two targets. And that wide receiver was Trent Sherfield or whoever in the hell Trent Sherfield.
The Brandon Ayuk thing is amazing.
Like Sherfield is. Like, so they literally have one guy that they throw to every single time, and it's not an Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams situation. That's not the case whenever you're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo here. And it's the same thing here over on the other side here with the Chiefs. I mean, this team's just built poorly, and I think Andy Reid is calling one of the most vanilla, one of the most bland offenses that we've seen this year in the NFL. I think he's off his game. I don't know if he can get it back. I don't know if the game has passed him by. I don't know if like he's trying to do something that's just not working. I don't know exactly what it is. But you look, and it's a lot of the same over and over and over again. And I'm not going to say that you can figure out Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to say you can figure out 100% what's going on. But these defenses are by far playing them much, much, much better. They know you don't blitz anymore. If you sit back and you make Patrick Mahomes have to figure out, and if you can cover Tyreek Hill, and now the other options are Demetrius Robinson, like all these other, it's very hard for him to move the ball. Like it's very hard for them to do anything. And so I think there's a ton of combination here with what's going on with this Chiefs team. And I don't know if there's a quick fix or an easy fix, if we're being honest. Like we brought up when we said, like, hey, that Chiefs to miss the playoffs number is at least fairly interesting, especially when you look at the schedule. Like, it's not like it's easy moving forward. It was easier than the first few weeks, but it's not easy. They are definitely on the brink right
now.
Well,
I said it before the show. I said to you, like, how many times going into a week of Survivor can you say, oh, there's a double-digit home favorite in a standalone game, which the Chiefs are on Monday night against the Giants, and you'd be terrified to play them?
I know.
Like, how many times in the history of Survivor could you ever say that? And this qualifies
it
to
is.
That. Mahomes, in the first half yesterday, 5 of 9 for 41 yards and a fumble lost. Again, interception in 6 straight games. Had a scary injury in the fourth quarter. I thought he was going to be out for a long time, but he passed concussion protocol. Fewest points for the Chiefs, 3-9 seasons under Andy Reid. Shut out in the first half for only the second time with Mahomes at quarterback. 2018 AFC Championship versus New England was the other. And 17 turnovers, the most in the NFL. This is what is this here, this graphic here? No underdog of more than 7 points, at least 7.5, has won outright this season. This ties the most weeks into a season without a 7.5-point underdog winning in the Super Bowl era. Oh, there you go. Joining 2005. It's reflective in Survivor. No one loses.
Yeah.
Nobody loses. Although I will tell you, I thought Detroit got hosed yesterday. We'll get into that in a bit.
See what I did there? Rough start.
Good for you.
Rough.
Dogs. See what you did.
Yeah, it's just, you know, this Chiefs team, again, I don't know if there's an easy fix here. I mean, you can look yesterday, and yeah, the defense surrendered 27 points to the Titans. They were certainly not good, and A.J. Brown went crazy. I mean, Ryan Tannehill, third-graded passer on the week. A.J. Brown, the number one-graded receiver on the week. He went absolutely nuts. But this offense was the thing that I was so confident in. Like, I was like, okay, look, at least they're going to score points. Can you stop them enough a couple of times? That is not what is happening right now with this offense. It's broken. They've got to figure out a way to fix it, and they got to figure out a way to fix it quick because they could certainly be on the outside looking in. This is no joke.
Saints and Seahawks tonight. Give me 60 seconds on how you think this goes.
Yeah, huge, huge, huge for the Saints, man. Like, this is, they're getting 5 players back tonight. They're going to have a full starting offensive line. They're going to have 2 more of the starters back on the defensive side of the ball, and then they're also going to have Tre'Quan Smith back at the wide receiver position. That's why this line has moved from 4 this morning to 5.5 now, where we see the Saints. I'm on the Saints at 4.5. I thought I had the bad number because when I saw the 4 this morning, but looks like it's going to end up being a little bit better than what's available out there. When you take a look, I mean, here's the thing. What the Seahawks want to do and what they probably need to do, because Geno Smith's at quarterback, is run the football, and the Saints are actually elite against the run. Like, they are one of the very few teams in the league that are truly, truly elite against the run. Number two overall DVOA, number four overall according to Pro Football Focus. If you look, yards per rush given up, they are first in the league with that as well. And then they're really good at early downs on defense as well. And what that does is the reason this, why I keep saying this is such a mismatch, such an advantage for them. So now you're putting Geno Smith in the third and longs. Now, it's not Russell Wilson in the third and sevens and the third and eights. You're now, it's Geno Smith in the third and sevens and the third and eights, which is why, you know, again, swings just so incredibly heavily to the Saints. And I understand I'm not jumping up and down about backing Jameis Winston on the road, but Jameis Winston has not been bad. He's not winning them games, but he's not losing them games. And that's one of the things where I think everybody was super worried that Jameis Winston was going to come in and be, you know, flameless again and, like, you know, throw the picks all over the place. But he's been pretty good with the ball. He's been pretty good controlling the ball as well. And they've schemed this offense to where he's, again, doesn't throw the ball down the field all that often. So you don't have that problem. And I think the Saints get you know, do what they do here. I think that the Seattle Seahawks have a pretty tough time moving the ball overall, and I really do like the Saints in this one.
All right. We have to do first touchdown. The stakes are higher. Skins game, they double from last week.
Yeah, two skins worth, right? We're up to two skins.
$40 per person now, yep. Skin being $20. Who gets first try? First
it's
crack?
Same order, right, until someone hits. So Matt Gilbey.
Me? Juwan Johnson.
Ooh.
Juwan Johnson, first tight end.
I will take DraftKings Metcalf. Is that what it stands for?
Wow, yes. Cool. I'll take Alvin Kamara.
All right.
This guy.
I figured he'd be gone.
This guy is Chalk McChalkerson.
Just plays the chalk. That's fine.
I see what you're doing.
That's fine.
We'll come back. Seahawks, Saints, and so much more. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Primetime Action, Gil, Matt, and Kelly, glad you joined us tonight for another night where we got football on the TV screen. We always love it on Monday and Thursday. Baseball, which we'll get into next segment, tomorrow and Wednesday. Can I say something sports talk radio-ish about baseball?
Let's do it.
It is so regional. Right at this point. So I'm a Giants guy. As soon as the Giants got knocked out, I couldn't have cared less anymore. Right? Except for my Dodgers future, which now I really don't care. Right? And but if you're unless you're from Atlanta or Houston or hold tickets like yourself on Houston, how bad are these ratings going to be? And specifically with the Atlanta Braves.
Oh man, that's something, you know, but working back in local TV before, I always talk TV ratings. Yeah. Never really thought about it until you just brought it up, Gil, but it's
going to be brutal.
It will be pretty bad. Middle of the road to pretty bad.
This, I don't mean to offend any Atlanta Braves fans, cuz obviously they were a great team in the 1990s with Maddox, Glavine, Smoltz, and then for a little while Avery. Won one World Series, by the way. Didn't win multiple World Series, won a whole bunch of divisions in a row, double digits worth, but only won one World Series. What is it about certain franchises that don't capture the national attention, right? So the Braves have certainly been a successful franchise through the years in different forms, but they're not the Yankees or Red Sox or the Dodgers. I'll say the Giants just because I want to jerry-rig them into the conversation, but you know what I mean. There's nothing sexy about them that make you want to go. And it's I don't know what it is. Do you agree with me about that? That they're just kind of there. Even during the regular season, we barely talked about them.
Yeah, I do. I mean, they are two top 10
real quick, Kelly. So yeah, kickoff here goes off at 6. So really, really late money on the Saints. And it literally minute and a half before kickoff, it all ticks up to 6 across the board. Mm-hmm. And then also moves from 41 to 42. On the total. So some late over and some late favorite money.
Seahawks,
probably not shocker.
Seahawks with the ball first, which means that Gil is in the driver's seat.
The driver's seat here.
With, I know I called him DraftKings Metcalf before. DeKalen Zakarias Metcalf is my shot to win $80.
To your thing about the Braves, I do think there's something to also what you said last week, which is, so Acuna goes down.
Mm-hmm.
He's the highlight reel guy. He's the guy you're going to see on SportsCenter. He's the dude that's going to make the crazy catches and the guy that's stealing 40 bases and is going to hit 40 homers. And all. Well, he leaves, and now it's a bunch of kind of like normal dudes, right? It's just a team full of normal dudes. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, they made it to the World Series. But when it comes to getting the national, you know, the national pub and all the things like that, yeah, I mean, like it's kind of like, eh,
but I guess what I'm saying is, though, every time they make the playoffs, I feel like this about them.
No, what you said before, I completely agree with. I mean, you are talking from a TV market standpoint. These are two top 10 TV markets. It's 10th and 8th, so like there's that would work in their favor. But you're right. I think there's something about those teams that, especially at the World Series, when you get in the playoffs, you need to be able to capture more than just your local market's attention. And for whatever reason, you are talking about two very, very successful baseball franchises that, to me, don't fully capture the national attention, like you said, like the Dodgers, like the Yankees, like the Red Sox. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Third and one, by the way, on the third play for the Seahawks, and Alex Collins takes far too long to run forward and only gets a half a yard. So fourth and one.
I don't know what he was trying to decide right there.
You are not like, Le'Veon.
You got to get 1 yard, just run sideways.
Just run. Yeah. They're even showing a graphic afterwards, and he breaks to the outside at no shot. And so it would appear the Seahawks will punt, although in this NFL, who knows? Yes, they will punt.
Come on.
It's
Pete
Kirk. Seahawks.
Yes. Come on.
So there's a couple more of those yesterday where teams 0-0 in their own territory.
Hey, Kirk,
first drive.
You have 1 centimeter to go. Punt it. Punt unit.
Punt it. We got to establish the run.
Oh, man. There was a lot of push there up front, too, by the Saints.
Ooh, nice. Oh, no. It does trickle into the end zone. So that's it. Three and out. Saints will start first and 10 at their own
in true 20. Pete Carroll fashion, the number two defense against the run in the NFL, run to start the game. True Pete Carroll fashion.
Should have gotten the first down on that third down. But
all right, I got a Sports Talk Radio question for you guys. Too. For Matt Brown. Okay.
Joe Burrow the greatest quarterback in the NFL?
If you're the guy who gets handed Tom Brady's 600 touchdown ball, you are doing what?
Well, I mean, I'm giving it back, but I'm probably
demanding more than a golf round.
If I'm a big fan, I'd be like, give me season tickets or something, you know? That ball's worth what? $1 million?
Now ask me.
I heard, yes. Gil, what were you doing?
I'd give the ball back. Okay. I mean, come on. Stop it. Really?
No, you would hold it for ransom? But I mean, like, they can give me season tickets.
Season tickets? Because Mike Evans just happened to come over and hand it to you? Mistakenly?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you happen to catch someone's...
This is Sports Talk Memorabilia.
No, Barry Bond, that's you're actively catching that ball. I mean, this is just the guy made a mistake and handed it to you. I'm like, give me season tickets.
Well, I'm not saying it all has to come from Tom Brady. Maybe, I mean, Mike Evans should probably chip in on that, you know?
I mean, what I would do is, I don't know what I would do, but I don't know about season ticket ransom.
I think that's more than fair. I think it's more than fair.
Oh, I think that takes some cojones.
That ball is worth... $500,000 minimum, probably $1 million.
I heard the estimate at half a mil today, and I was like, I think that's way too low. I think it would go for more than that.
Because we're probably, in our lifetime, not going to see anyone throw for 600 touchdown passes again.
You know? Oh, no, for sure not. But again, somebody gave it to you by mistake.
Yeah, I know.
That ain't you catching 755.
that ain't your fault, though. That's not that guy's fault.
You know,
really, season tickets.
Yeah! Yes! Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, remind me not to get into business with you two. A lot of integrity on this end. Oh,
no.
Completely missed him.
That would have been it on the first pass.
Oh, man.
Jameis!
Jameis had...
wide open! Yeah. Oh, man!
Just scream Jameis at the top of your lungs. Who was the attendant?
Wait. Why did he like slow up running though? Too, I don't know if that was all Jameis's fault.
the ultimate Jameis apologist over here.
They stopped running.
That was Traquan.
Yes, Traquan. That's what I'm saying. It would have been all in one pass. It'd have been one pass right there. Game over.
Alvin Kamara with 4 yards.
Game over on my prop. One pass.
The season tickets crew over here.
I just want to cash my. Now I just wanted to cash the prop. I mean, that was it right there.
That was
27. That was it. It was over. Jameis.
Gee, just flashed Bobby Wagner's career tackle total, 1,283 career tackles. Jameis, lots of time. Got a man. He misfires Traquan again.
Jameis doesn't want me to get this.
That was a 3-yard overthrow that Traquan could only get a hand on. And it's a 3-and-out for your New Orleans Saints. 11:09 left in the first.
If you tailed me on this, don't blame me. That's Jameis.
That one's even worse, by the way. Because that's a point-blank pass. Just completely
missed. That's at least him. 6 or 7 right there.
Jameis having a conversation with Sean Payton on the sidelines. Here's how the conversation went. Jameis is like, I know I missed him both times, Sean. Stop screaming at me. I'm not that good.
Our timing's off. He's been
like,
out.
What are you going to do? Put in Taysom? Oh, he's inactive. Yeah. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? You going to call Drew? Huh? Seahawks are fielding the punt now. They'll start 1st and 10 at their own 16.
Oh, man. That's okay. We're still going to get there. He obviously wants to throw to him. He wants to throw to him. We're getting there, guys. Hopefully. Don't tweet at me. Don't at me. don't at me.
If you want to, it's Matt Brown. M2.
Yeah, don't at me. We hadn't talked about any of these games, really, from this past week. We talked about the Chiefs.
Oh, trust me. Let me back up my Detroit comment.
Yeah.
I really thought, as a guy who had the Patriots in Survivor, when the Lions took that 10-0 lead, and they took it based on an onside kick. The second field goal was an onside kick and then a fake punt converted.
Yes. Just biting kneecaps out of the game. Yeah.
So 7-0, and then they
converted
did
two fake punts.
Yeah, and then they had a fake punt later to the up back, which they converted. That one was a punter throw.
Oh, did you I'm sorry, yeah. Did you hear the announcers calling the game after the first fake punt? This is where like old school football minds are still just so outdated, where they're like, I don't know why you would run that now. Like, why wouldn't you save it for a time when you need that play? You're like, what's the difference?
You're 0-6.
You're going to need this several times today.
Save it for when.
When you need it.
When Detroit's in the playoff picture.
No, they meant like later in the game when they're down.
Then.
So anyway, it's 13-3. And they hold the Rams. The Rams have like a 3rd and 6 at their own 21. Don't hold me to the exact yard line, but it's deep in their own territory. 3rd down. Detroit's already up 13-3, and Stafford goes back to pass, incomplete pass, and it looks like, wow, Detroit's getting the ball back up 13-3. No flag. A flag gets thrown. A phantom PI. It drove me crazy. And of course, right, 30-plus yards down the field. Of course, then the Rams matriculate the ball down the field. It's 13-10, and you know they're going to win the game from that point forward. But we often focus on things that happen late in football games as key moments. Oh, they didn't go for it on 4th and 1. Buffalo Bills, and then we talk about it in the mainstream media for a week. Oh, they should have had Taylor Lewanen. He doesn't play for that team, Chris Broussard. But really, sometimes there's things that happen at the beginning of games or early in games. That entire game shifted on that, in my humble opinion. I can't prove it, but that's the story I'm sticking with right there. Saints nothing. Seahawks nothing. 4-1 into this ballgame. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime Action, one of us is $80 richer. That would be me. DK Metcalf to the house, 84 yards. Gino, a little play action. Had a man. DK Metcalf apparently threw Marshawn Lattimore down. right after I was saying how the Lions got a phantom flag on them.
Right.
I think they heard me. Touchdown, DK Metcalf.
Where there was,
show me my money.
Well, there was some contact. A little bit of contact. And, of course, you asked that question, Kelly, and we're all like, oh, what is he? He should get more. He should whatever and all. So, of course, Tom Brady just tweets because he partnered with that FTX company, you know, which is that crypto trading company.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So he just says, hey, FTX, let's get this guy a Bitcoin.
There we go.
So Bitcoin right now is worth $63,000. So
there we go.
So he's going to get at least $63,000 for the ball. So there you go, Gil.
Way to go, Tommy.
Wait a minute. This is a tweet here. This is from RDW. Per ESPN, guy got season tickets this and next year. Cleats, jersey, $1,000 buck store credit.
Yeah, I mean, store credit.
Yeah.
Store credit.
He'll take the Bitcoin.
Take the Bitcoin, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't say I wouldn't accept it if they offered, but I would. The words wouldn't come out of my mouth. Give me season tickets.
Yeah. Well, he's getting a Bitcoin now, which he will immediately sell. So he's going to get $63,000 and season tickets. That's a good offer.
I think it was a fair. I'm glad this just came up. It puts a nice cap on our conversation. I think that's perfectly acceptable.
Where's my money, Kelly? You're not ducking me, are you? Did you ever see that Family Guy?
I need your Venmo because I got $33 on me right now. Is that sad?
Ever see the Family Guy with Stewie? It's the bookie. And Brian was ducking
me, bro?
You ducking me, man? That's the greatest thing. A little tight end screen for Jameis in New Orleans. They get their first down of the night. That's a way to get Jameis back on the accuracy trail. Oh, thank you. Let me grab that money. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I can go home now. About this baseball World Series. The World Series, everybody. The Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros. You have your Houston tickets, your futures plays. You already won the division and you already won the pennant. So you're just free rolling here.
Ooh, I'm Matt Brown. Just free rolling.
Ooh, free rolling.
What is he doing now? Now he's loading six other things up.
It's like he's
I was going to ask Gil if he wants that or if he would prefer me to pay him in Canadians.
Of course, that's what he was doing.
It's $49.53 in Canadian.
I'm going to go with this.
You'll just take that. All right, it's $49.53 in Canadian.
Pay me the Jacksons.
All right. $49.53 in Canadian.
Astros series price -150. If you're a mere mortal and don't have Astros futures tickets, would you bet the Astros? This price, by the way, was -135 or -140. That was a lot lower than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I think the Braves have a massive pitching advantage in the series. I mean, when you know McCullers for the Astros, and so you just can't assume that you're going to get, you know, a pitching performance like we got the other night. I mean, like Zach Greinke is toast, right? I mean, like he's just completely done. And you have the Braves that can go Morton, Fried, Strong, like between those two. I mean, those two are like top end legit guys, you know? And so, I mean, I think the pitching advantage is pretty high towards the Braves. I mean, so again,
it is,
yes,
for sure. Starting pitching for sure.
Fall from the sky. I'd probably take the dog. I think it's more of a coin flip series than maybe most people do.
It's baseball. They're all coin flips in the end of the postseason. Again, have to go best of Jameis deep, way overthrown.
Oh boy.
There's that arm strength. Just 10 yards past this receiver.
I don't think you get credit for how far you throw it when you miss your guy by 15 yards.
Kenny Stills, I suppose, was the intended receiver, but here's the funny thing about it.
So like we were talking to my friends, like I was talking about, this guy gets X amount of targets. So that's going to go down as a target.
Yeah.
But it's like,
oh yeah,
come on. It's a target, but I mean, like, he had zero chance.
Let's go back to another thing from yesterday, because we were talking about how the thing about Devontae Adams being on the COVID list with 36-37% of targets, which is just an insane percentage. And we mentioned last night that the Niners, Deebo Samuel's 36%. Only Devontae has a greater percentage of targets on a team. And the thing with the Deebo thing, though, is that Brandon Ayuk has completely disappeared.
Yeah.
So have they played six games this year, the Niners have? Six games this year, because they had a bye. He has a grand total, talking about Brandon Ayuk, of 20 targets and 10 catches for less than 100 yards.
Yeah, and the problem is, it's like, the Chiefs don't have any capital to. You're not going to get there.
Nope. What do you do now? Fourth and three at the 42.
If they run to the line right now while this defense is celebrating.
Well, see, yes.
Yes.
Then it's automatic.
Go.
Either have to call timeout or it's an automatic first down.
You just bring up a good point. Defenses have got to stop thinking about throwing their fists every fourth down and thinking, oh, it's over, we did it. No, get your head back in the game.
Sean Payton punting this?
Sean Payton is punting in plus territory.
Oh, my gosh.
He is punting. At least he's going in punt formation.
These coaches, man.
Wow.
These coaches, man.
A fourth and three at the Seahawks 42.5. They're in punt formation, and they will, in fact, punt it away. Wow. That is not the football we saw yesterday, which, by the way, I don't know if you heard this, Kelly, was National Tight Ends Day. Did you know that?
No way! Take a drink.
I thought I heard that once or twice. I could be wrong.
Who's number 88 on the Saints? I don't know who that was out on the field. Is that Callaway?
That's Ty Montgomery.
Did you see what he did there?
No.
When Puffield came back, he's the only guy who was on the offense. He was last one off, and he goes like this over to the sidelines. He was the only guy who looked bad about it.
He's like, no, what are we doing? We're on this side of the field. How is this a thing? Anyway, this can't be a thing.
That thing with Ayuk is very interesting to me, because how does a guy just all of a sudden become that ineffective? Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't even look at him.
I know.
So I think even the bigger thing with that, Gil, is everybody's talking about it, right? Like, they couldn't stop talking about it on the broadcast last night. Like, it's something that's been talked about for a couple weeks now. Like, sometimes these things fly under the radar a little bit. Or a little bit more than
he was just so awesome to end the year last year. Right. It's like, so that's why it just stands out so much, is because he was amazing to end the year last year. If you are the Packers, do you at least call him? Do you at least give him a buzz and just say, you want a second? You want a second round pick for him?
A second? They would take it in a heartbeat. A second?
Well, I mean, they traded up for him in the first, to get him in the first.
Yeah, but I mean,
most of the NFL guys debating that on Twitter today, and it was like, second round seemed to be like the consensus, but
for Ayuk, a second?
Yeah.
How many times do you hear NFL trades, you're like, the opposite of that, where you're like, you could have gotten player X for a sixth, what? And now I'm hearing this, a second for Brandon Ayuk? I wouldn't offer a second for him. Can't get open.
I can't believe that this is way different, but I can't believe the Eagles might have just traded a fifth round pick for Joe Flacco. Like, don't be wrong, you need someone there, but even a fifth rounder is valuable enough.
You're desperate, you're desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, again, if I'm the Packers, man, or who else? Like, Patriots?
Washington?
Could use a true, you know, like, stud receiver. I mean, it's
Washington? As long as Curtis Samuel can't see the field consistently.
And that has just been rough for them this year. That fact alone, because Curtis Samuel is just such a guy you can do so many different things so many plays designed around. And like, I'm not saying it's a large percentage, but a percentage of your playbook just goes out the window when that guy can't get on the field.
Anyway, we're doing a little stream of consciousness here. Back to baseball for a second.
I would bet the Braves. If I didn't have an Astros future, I'd bet the Braves.
Would you do a total games played or a spread bet at all on this series?
I don't think so. I think I would just play them at the 130 and be comfortable that I think that they have, you know, a much better starting rotation, a much better maybe even from a bullpen standpoint. I would play them there, but lose, please. Just lose. I would really like you to lose.
Pretty sure I just saw Marshawn Lattimore shove a official that I haven't seen a flag specifically thrown for.
Well, there's a flag right here on this play.
Yeah, but it was down before Lattimore pushed the official.
Maybe he wasn't happy with the fact that they didn't throw a flag on the DK Metcalf touchdown. Because that was Lattimore.
Super smart Lattimore.
Oh, he just pushed DK right there.
Super, super smart.
That was the first flag.
When you have him down at the 1 yard line.
Genius. Let's see what happens here, because Metcalf.
Always
get the retaliation. That was Metcalf who did that. Yeah.
You always get the retaliator.
Always get the reaction.
And here's the thing. It's a no-lose situation for Metcalf, because the penalty would be a half a yard.
And they totally got it only on Lattimore. And that is a monster penalty with the Seahawks pinned. And they only got a yard on that carry anyway. And now, space to operate.
I'm not going to say it was smart by DK Metcalf, but you have nothing to lose.
But there was no reason for Metcalf to do that. Yeah. None. They got the retaliation. Unbelievable. How'd they miss the Metcalf shove, by the way? How does every official miss that? All right, we'll come back. By the way, my reaction to the whole baseball thing is, I can't wait for a week from today when they announce the three finalists for all the major awards. Now that's exciting. More Seahawks and Saints. Beeson's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Prior to making your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for money line, over under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Gil, Matt, and Kelly, 7-0 Seahawks. They had to punt it away, so the Saints will start again with the ball. Their second drive, first at 10. 19 people in Circa Survivor took the Saints tonight. 19 people. Biggest loser yesterday was 66 on the Ravens. 66 people had the Ravens. It was still a very small percentage. We have more people left in a Circa Survivor currently than we did to begin last season's Circa Survivor contest.
It's going to be quite interesting as well, like, because where there was one team you wanted to pick on last year, there are multiple teams to be picked on this year.
There are, and yet they're scarier than the Jets were last year. The Jets were just, until, of course, the Jets weren't against the Rams, don't remind me, but the Jets were just such a slam dunk last year. And this year, between the Texans and the Jets and the Jaguars and the Giants, and I don't know who else, who am I forgetting? They all just seem a little scarier, but yes, you're right. There's more options.
The Texans scored 5 points yesterday
yeah.
after scoring 3 points the week before.
Yeah.
Now, they did get 22 against the Patriots, which was better than the zero they got the week before that. They've gone 0, 22, 3, and 5.
Tyrod Taylor expected a practice, though, this week. So we'll see.
Yeah, let's see about that.
Yeah.
If you are the front office.
That's what I said this morning.
You might be calling around to see if anybody wants to trade for him or something, you know?
Oh, my good. Jameis just airmailed one to Alvin Kamara. Again, point-blank range. Let's talk about Deshaun Watson for a second. Mm. So NFL trade deadline is a week from tomorrow, November 2nd. So, again, here's the calendar next week. Baseball awards, November 1st, Monday, announcing the three finalists for all the major awards. Then the next day is the NFL trade deadline. Between now and the NFL trade deadline, there might be a Deshaun Watson trade because now we're hearing that maybe the Texans played this correctly after all, and that teams dying for quarterback help are going to pony up, whether it's the Dolphins. The Panthers have been reported to have renewed interest now that they see the Sam Darnold show. And then, of course, there are other teams as well that have interest. Maybe Philadelphia? I don't know. But Deshaun Watson has approval rights on whatever happens here. But he is reported to have interest in more than just one team now. It was thought before, it's just the Dolphins. He might be open to others.
Well, here would be the reason why I would be interested in more than just the Dolphins, because I guess from what we've heard and seen from the NFL so far, why would we expect any punishment from them coming anytime? Oh,
Jameis, throw the ball. Just got sacked.
Oh, man.
By the way, I have no dog in this fight.
We got bad Jameis tonight.
You got bad Jameis tonight. That's right.
Going to get good Jameis. He's just saving it up for a great second half comeback.
19 survivors are making that same realization. Oh, no, we got bad Jameis tonight. You got to throw this ball.
Yeah.
Don't take the sack. Just throw it.
Right now, he could step up and just throw it away.
Though his guys are blanketed, as the graphic shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe he is. Maybe he had nowhere. He certainly had no receiver to throw to, but throw it away. Your point that you were about to make, Kelly, though, is a good one. Finish that thought.
I forgot
about Deshaun.
Deshaun, thank you.
Yes,
because if the actual court stuff doesn't happen until January, February, right, which is what we've heard all along, the Dolphins are out of it this season. Don't you want to be a team that, if you're going to bring him in and have to pony up what you're going to have to pony up to bring in, a team that at least has hopes?
I don't know what matters to Deshaun Watson, to answer your question.
We were talking about this 4 weeks ago, I'd be like, is this really a question? Like, you're going to Miami, you're not going to go.
Sure, of course.
You're not going to go to Charlotte. Come on. Like,
and if he does go to Miami,
fantastic.
If he does go to Miami, does Tua have to leave in the same trade?
I would think so, wouldn't you? I don't know, but.
Yeah.
Or a third team gets involved, maybe something like that. Who knows? But I think that's the only reason Deshaun Watson's saying he's open to other places. Because if he thinks he could get on the field this season and do something for a team that might actually go somewhere, and I'm not saying the Panthers are only a quarterback away, but at least they're in a better situation right now than the Dolphins are.
You know what's funny about this? I think the Dolphins are like listening to the mainstream media. And a little bit too much, the people who just without
Geno.
Oh boy, yeah, nice little.
Jumped in before this drive. Seahawks minus 1.5
for the game.
All right,
for the game. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you look, Tua. Yes, he threw a bad pick yesterday. He threw one really horrible pick yesterday.
Threw one horrible pick in London too.
In London as well.
Yeah.
Came out of that game last week. number six overall graded quarterback on the week. Came out of this week, number six overall graded quarterback of the week. He was graded higher than Matthew Stafford. He was graded higher than Tom Brady this week. Like, yes, it stood out because he had a really horrible pick. I mean, it was one really bad pick, but it's one of those things where it's like, the guy's not played bad over these last 2 weeks. For whatever reason, people just, I think they have this, like, previous notion that he's not good for whatever reason that might be. Mm-hmm. And so every single little thing gets magnified by a million times. And if it's because we got ruined forever on rookie quarterbacks because of what Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert did last season,
that's not,
we got to get over that.
Yeah, like, we got to get over that.
Like, these guys are just special. There's like, we have not seen this before. I mean, people don't remember because it's been so long. Like, Peyton Manning was horrible his rookie season. Like, horrible his rookie season.
Well,
like,
Troy Aikman. I mean, there's so many players like that. Yeah.
And so, but so it's like we just instantly think like, oh no, you need to step in and look like you've been in the league 5 years, like Herbert and Burrow were last year. Well, that's just not the norm.
It's not realistic. Tua 32 for 40 yesterday for 291, four touchdowns, two picks, sack once, four carries for 29 yards. That's why I said earlier, I go, Tua, you look good in red. How about burgundy? I would love for Washington to acquire him.
That's
a three-team
13th
deal.
Start. Hadn't even started a whole season
would
yet.
Love
it's his
13th
it. Start I in would, the NFL.
I'd be over the moon about it.
And that's what I'm saying. I think if it is the Dolphins, I wouldn't be surprised at all if a third team tries to work their way in there.
Well, he can't stay.
No, he cannot stay.
Right, he can't stay.
So here is the betting question, if there even is one. So you try to get ahead of a Deshaun Watson destination, right?
Right.
And if it's a, like, it wouldn't apply to the Dolphins, but it could apply if he went elsewhere, I guess. Let's just say Carolina, right? If you thought he was going to end up at Carolina, which is the closest NFL team to where he played in college, which I don't know how, if Deshaun wants to play there or not, but if you thought that, is there a bet to make on the Carolina Panthers because they'll get Christian McCaffrey back and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be a to make the playoff bet for them.
Yeah.
They're not going to win the division, obviously.
Well, and let's talk about the NFC for a second. We already know five of the NFC playoff teams. Yeah. I'm sorry, we do. Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Arizona, and the Rams. There is a mad scramble from here to the end of the season for those last two playoff spots in the NFC. So some two really bad teams that we think of as mediocre to bad right now are actually going to make the playoffs in the NFC.
Yeah.
It could be Minnesota, Carolina, Washington,
and
you name
it. As you mentioned, Gil, like, so right now it's plus 650
yeah.
for Carolina to make the playoffs. If you think it is even a remote chance that he lands here and that could be the difference, then you make that bet because you do look at the schedule. I mean, he wouldn't be there in time to play against the Falcons. But Patriots, that's a winnable game. Washington, that's a winnable game. Dolphins, that's a winnable game. You get the Falcons after a bye, winnable game. I mean, like, there are winnable games left on this. You get the Bucs week 18, but they might have it wrapped up by then. You might be getting the Bucs JV squad in week 18. And so I think, like you're saying, there's a team that's going to be right at that 500-ish that's going to squeak into the playoffs. It could be that Panthers team.
That's what I was saying earlier. The Atlanta Falcons have as good a chance to make the playoffs as any of those also Rams in the NFC. I mean, two really mediocre to bad teams are going to make it in the NFC. And if you think, just like we were talking about, if you think that Deshaun is going to end up on one of those teams, you get ahead of it and you make a yes playoff bet. Now, that's from a betting perspective because that's the perspective we always come from. From a real-life perspective, I cannot believe that the NFL is so hypocritical here that they suspended Zeke for 6 weeks for virtually, because they had affidavits counter to reflecting that he was guilty of anything, and because they had mishandled the Ray Rice and the Josh Brown domestic violence stuff, they made a point of giving him a six-game suspension. And now you have Deshaun Watson, who, I mean, holy hypocrisy, 22 civil complaints alleging sexual misconduct during massage therapy sessions and 10 criminal complaints, and you mean the NFL's not going to say he can't play? It's amazing.
And that's kind of my point. If they haven't by now, like, what leads us to believe that they're going to at all, at least this regular season? So that's where I think the Panthers, to me, that's the only team, a team that's in the hunt still makes sense.
I cannot think that a team that would trade for him would not have had cleared with the league beforehand that they're not going to put him on the exempt list. Because if not, you just can't make the trade.
I agree with you. And again, just to be clear, I'm not making a judgment of what I think.
Sure. We're just going about what happened.
From an NFL.
Adrian Peterson got suspended for disciplining his own child.
Correct.
His own child.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. what are we doing? plus territory for the Seahawks. 3rd and 7. Oh, timeout. How about that? And we'll take a timeout. On VSiN's Primetime Action, we'll look at which Week 8 games we like the best next.